Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. This week we are here in the studio with Lori Beth, the author of this principle called the Omega Leader Principle. And I want to welcome Lori Beth this evening. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And we also have this evening an Omega leader. His name is Greg Reich, and he is calling in this evening from the Seattle area. Greg, I'm not really sure how to pronounce that city. You want to give it to us?
Puyallup.
Say it again.
Puyallup. P-U-Y-A-L-L-U-P.
You see why I don't say that word? But Greg is representing several pillars this evening, and you're going to get to meet Greg in just a few minutes as he shares with us on the show. But Greg has a background in business and also is a coach with Cutting Edge Influence. He is a path coach. He's also serving on the national leadership team for Lori Beth Jones, Inc., and he brings a passion for leadership and a passion for helping people get clear about their life's purpose. And so we are delighted to have Greg on the show this evening. And we're going to jump in tonight and talk about the principle of power. And that word has a lot of stuff wrapped in it. And some of that we're going to unwrap, and as we look at two significant lessons out of Jesus in Blue Jeans. And the first one is that he created openings. And so, Lori Beth, as we move into this last section of this book, maybe just we're in a new year, this is the first show, I believe, of the new year. And could you just reframe for our listeners the definition of an Omega leader?
An Omega leader is someone who combines the best of the Alpha authoritative leadership style with the Beta cooperative leadership style. And Jesus said he was the Alpha and the Omega. Mm-hmm. So I coined the phrase the Omega leader because Jesus combined the best of those. Sometimes he was very authoritative, and sometimes he was very cooperative with people. Do you want to be healed? Philip, how shall we feed these people? Who do you think I am? So he didn't just walk around throwing thunderbolts and being Mr. Know-it-all, which you would expect God to do, but he was very cooperative and collegial in his relationship with us, which is really the scandal of the gospel and why they killed him. You know, he claimed to be equal with God and called us brothers and sisters. And that's just too much of a scandal for those days. And I think it's still scandalous today. And the chapters in Jesus in Blue Jeans that we're going to talk about are, number one is he created openings, which is on page 218. Shelley's making a face like I shouldn't say the page number, but I'd like to because somebody might be reading along, Shelley.
Got it.
Page 218, he created openings. And the concept here is that the scripture that I close the chapter with is, he's not here. You know, they came in the tomb where he was sealed into a dark, tight, final place, a place of death. He created an opening and cut out of it and ascended into heaven. And so the whole notion of how do we create openings, that leaders are not paid to waltz through existing openings. Mm-hmm. We are paid and designed to create new ones. And I needed this chapter as a refresher tonight for myself. You know, I'm working with a university and a major denomination that are decades, hundreds, centuries old, and of course I want instant results, and part of me wants them to see the worth of what I'm doing and say, okay, we want you now, and part of me is waiting for an invitation. And you know, the truth is that if I have a vision for something, I need to communicate it and be confident about creating an opening. Joshua and Caleb said, we can take this land. They didn't just report that it was currently inhabited and therefore probably full. So that's kind of my take on this chapter. And Greg, I'd love to hear your thoughts and insights. I wanted to share a little bit about Greg in that he has created an opening with us in, along with Kim Skaggs, passionately creating a community call. And he believes the transformation takes place in community and has led the way for people to be able to call in and get help and get insight. So I want to thank you for that, Greg, for creating that opening in our repertoire, if you will. And just kind of hear your thoughts on this chapter. What came out of this for you?
You know, one of the things that just really struck me was your paragraph that began with, powerful people are not paid to waltz around existing openings. Our job is to create new openings. Don't look at the situation and say it can't be penetrated. And I remember one time one of my mentors long ago says, it's not the fact that someone can or someone can't, it's the fact that someone will and someone won't. And I oftentimes think that that's really plays a role in being able to create openings, is whether you, it's not whether you can or you can't, it's whether you will or you won't. And I remember in 1986, a guy by the name of Bob Ireland ran the New York City Marathon. And he became the last place ruler of the marathon. He was actually a Vietnam vet that had his legs blown off. And at age 40, he decided to run the New York Marathon just using his hands. It took him 4 days, 2 hours, 48 minutes, and 17 seconds. And he said that he ran for three reasons. One, to show that Christians give you a plus in life, that Christianity gives you a plus in life. Two, to test his own conditioning. And three, to promote physical fitness and courage in others. And he said, success is not based on where you start, but it's where you finish. And I think that's really what creating openings is all about. It's not where you start, it's where you finish.
And don't you think, Greg, that a lot of people sit in the, you know, the spectator stands? I heard a definition of a sports, you know, a football field where there's 40 men on the field desperately in need of rest, and there's 100,000 in the stadium desperately in need of exercise. And that's kind of the leadership model, I think, that so many people wait for someone else to create the opening. How do you coach around that when you see someone, and when you do a lot of work with people and organizations, you sense a hesitancy in people to take that leadership role?
I really do. I think that we are so bound in hierarchical leadership concepts that we forget to understand that there's a concept called 360-degree leadership, to where we can influence upwards, we can influence sideways our peers, and we can influence downward those people that are subordinate to us. And we oftentimes wait for a title. We oftentimes wait for something to happen. But we need to realize that empowerment is really where it's at. And once we're empowered, and, you know, I've always gone by the fact that Jesus plus me is the majority. So I'm always empowered and to be able to move forward and do the things that I'm called to do. So I think there's a hesitancy there because people don't understand that it doesn't take position and it doesn't take a hierarchical role to be able to be a leader or to influence others.
Well, you know, that is so true. Because we do get stuck in titles. And as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, okay, to our listeners, what are practical ways that we can create an opening? And I know for you, you know, what I know a little bit about your life is that you created an opening through education. You got a degree in what you wanted to be about. And so that's a door opener, right? To have the credentials to be doing what you want to do. What are some other practical ways that leaders can create openings? And Shelley's looking very thoughtful here. Do you, now she's frowning. Here we go.
Well, I was just thinking there. That's a great question. You know, I think one of the ways, and Greg, you can speak to this probably better than I can, is coaching. You know, coaching is a way to create openings, and sometimes those leadership tools, like a 360 or, you know, performance measures, don't always tell how those things happened, but often they happen through coaching or through mentoring or somebody coming alongside that person. What do you think, Greg, about coaching being a way to create openings?
I think that, you know, the coaching is a great opportunity to create openings for people because it gives them the ability to see what's possible and what the potentials are. And one of the things I remember is Zig Ziglar saying one time that he said, you know, how I got to do what he – someone asked him one time how he got to do what he did, and he said that he just helped others get what they want, and eventually they helped him get what he wanted. And it was just – I think that it's so critical to realize that creating openings is really a pretty simple process if you want to help others to achieve what they want. And I think that's the biggest joy that I have as a coach, is to be able to help others achieve what they want, knowing that in turn, I will in turn be able to achieve what I want.
You know, I had the opportunity to have lunch today at the Poseidon Restaurant in Del Mar, which is one of my favorite places, because it's right on the ocean, and the waves were, I don't know, about 6 or 7 feet high, which is high, the San Diego waves. And I looked out on the beach, and there was a very handsome young man with red hair and sunglasses and a beard sitting in a wheelchair, and his buddies were standing around them all wearing surfing wetsuits. And I looked down, and his leg had been amputated right below the knee. And I wondered, you know, maybe a Vietnam, not a Vietnam vet, but maybe he was so young to have lost a leg, maybe he was... could have been cancer, or it could have been a war injury, could have been an accident. But there he was with his buddies. And then I saw a man coming in, walking from the side, and he was in his wetsuit, and he was walking with a walker, very hesitant steps, and someone was walking alongside him. So either he was recovering from an accident or had had a stroke, or he looked like he was in his 40s. But it was so poetic because the lifeguards and the volunteers walked with him into the water, and then he lay down on the surfboard, and then he paddled out. And as they did that, we left the walker standing there on the beach alone. And I thought, these people are creating an opening for joy, for people who want to be in the water but have lost the natural ability to go into the water. And I was talking to someone there, and they said every Thursday in San Diego we do this for special needs people. So there's another way to walk alongside someone until they get on the paddle, you know, until they get on the surfboard and they can paddle themselves. So it's that creating an opening for others, which really was the heart cry of Jesus, wasn't it? It wasn't, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, it wasn't so he could declare himself God. He already came from there. He didn't need to do that. He wanted to create an opening for us to have a better life.
Well, those are powerful thoughts to chew on for a second, Lori Beth. And I'm also thinking as listeners are, other people are going to listen to this show later, about this kind of leader that we're talking about, this omega leader style that takes the alpha and the beta and creates opening. And that doesn't just happen. You know, how does a leader do that? How do you get that, get in that space? We know personality is a part of that. And if our Sandra Lisa was here on this call, she would say, now let's look at it elementally. But how do leaders, and Greg, you can speak to this as well, take those two tracks, alpha and beta, merge into this omega space and create openings. And we're going to need to move into how do they connect the dots as well, which is our next point of thought. But maybe speak to that, Greg and Lori Beth. Either one of you want to go first.
Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, you know, I think that one of the things that Omega leaders understand is that they have to do what it takes to get it done. And, you know, Noah Webster took 36 years to write his dictionary, and he crossed the Atlantic twice to gather the material that he took to do that. And he knew that, you know, he had a vision of what it was going to be like, but I'm sure that he just realized that though he had some people helping him out, that he just needed to do what it takes to get done. And I think that Omega leaders understand that they not only create opportunities for success for themselves, but they create an environment that creates wins and opportunities for others to succeed under them. And I think that that's a good way to create openings, is to guarantee that those that are subordinate to us or those that are in our areas of influence have an opportunity to succeed along with us as we succeed. And by putting wins under their belts, I think that gives them an attitude of confidence that helps them to do what it takes to get it done.
Wow. Very well said.
Powerful. And I think, too, that the Omega leader, as we stay connected to God, we see the opening. I think that's one of the beauties of being an Omega leader. It's also one of the frustrations, is we can see the opening before other people can see it. And so we have to hold that space or stay in that creative tension as we keep our foot in the elevator door, you know, while the crowd catches up, and hopefully it doesn't do any damage or too much damage to our own bodily limbs. But moving now into connecting the dots. Greg, how do Omega leaders connect the dots for people? And this is one of my favorite chapters because I have some really wonderful memories about that, and I want to talk about that in just a second.
You know, I think this, I would agree with you. This is probably out of the two chapters that we're talking about tonight, this is one of my favorite ones as well. The whole concept that you brought out in some of the games that you played brought fond memories back. And I think that one of the important things to remember, and that Omega leaders understand, that connecting the dots isn't nearly as important as connecting the correct dots. I remember when my children were in school and they did brought home dot-to-dot art. You know, if it was supposed to look like a sailboat and they connected the wrong dots, it never really looked the way it was supposed to look. And I think that oftentimes we as leaders think that, you know, we can connect the dots. I think connecting the dots can be a pretty simple process. But knowing which dots to connect in what order to create the masterpiece that needs to be created, I think is really key to being an Omega leader. And one of the things that just comes to mind is that King David, you know, in First Samuel, I read it this morning, and I thought, oh, this is just so applicable to the connecting the dots. That in First Samuel, we see that David runs and hides in the cave away from Saul because his life is being threatened. And 400 renegades actually follow him. The Bible says it was the poor, the broken, and the troubled who joined David in this wilderness cave and became his army. And you read further on in Scripture that it's these men, the troubled, the broken, and the poor, who became David's mighty men. And so David was a giant killer, and he understood how to connect the dots, and yet he raised up men that were giant killers, that killed more giants than he did, that did greater things in battle. And the Bible is just full of examples of the mighty men of valor that David raised up. And, you know, he doesn't say how he did it other than he lived a life of being an Omega leader, and that obviously rubbed off on his men, who were broken in a motley crew, needless to say, became men of valor and the mighty men of David.
Wow, you have blessed me. Well, I've just gotten goosebumps all over. What a blessing. You were meant to be on this call tonight, my brother. Just for me. you know, it is so true, and the stories that I share in the chapter were that at night, when we all gathered for supper, our dad or mother would say, okay, what's the funniest thing that happened to you today? And so what that did was it framed a way of looking at the world for the next day. If we didn't have an answer that day, we knew that at the end of the day we were going to be asked that question. So we began to look for funny things. Mm-hmm. And the more you look for funny things, the more you find funny things. And I shared that my sister was sharing one of her funny stories, and I snorted a pea at my nostril
when I was laughing so hard, I can still remember the pain of that. But that became a funny story. And so part of connecting the dots is showing how to showing people how to frame their thinking, you know, what they're looking for during the day. And then the other memory I have is that my grandfather would take me on walks and pick up a rock and say, "What do you see here?" And then I'd say, "A rock." And he'd say, "Look again." I'd say, "A gray rock." And he'd say, "No, don't you see the cowboy hat here?" And then he'd point out the little veins in the rock that made a cowboy hat. And then he'd turn it over and he'd say, "Now what do you see?" You know, and so it taught me to look for patterns in nature, random patterns. And now I can hardly take a shower in a marble shower stall because I see faces and in my shower there's a banana on a skateboard and so I see all the patterns. It's almost, you know, kind of scary because, but really that's what algorithm is. Algorithm is pattern recognition. And if Omega leaders can teach, first they have to know, learn pattern recognition and then teach their followers pattern recognition, then you get to the heart of the matter much more quickly.
Wow.
Your thoughts, Greg?
You know, I just think that, you know, what you said is just so true, that an Omega leader sees the patterns and it creates the speed to get to where you want so much more quickly. And one of the, you know, I was thinking to myself today when I was thinking about this topic, I thought, you know, who is really someone that you can look at that's outside of the business world but just understands the importance of connecting the dots? And the first thing that came to mind was a symphony conductor. You know, he doesn't know how to play every instrument, but
right,
he knows every piece of music and he knows every note that needs to be played. And the violinists don't need to know how to play the cello, and the celloists don't need to know how to play the rest of the instruments. They just need to know how to do their part. But the symphonic leader, the Omega leader, needs to know what dots, what parts need to be added, and he needs to know every aspect of what's taking place. So he needs to be able to see that big picture, like you said, and be able to see things before everybody else sees them, so he knows when to bring the violins in and the cellos in order to be able to make the music that needs to be made, or to be able to create the process and be successful in that process.
And that's, you know, I think that's one of the things that, Greg, one of the reasons that we created this show is to talk about leadership, obviously. And I often hear stories, whether they're on a blog or somebody's telling it or, you know, whatever the case may be, of the 900 things that a leader, a manager, a parent, a pastor, a teacher has to do in a day's time in order to lead well. So in the next maybe 2 or 3 minutes, Greg and Lloyd Beth, you could shed some light on the balance that is required to see pattern recognition. Lloyd, we talked about the role of a consultant last night for a little bit with some friends, and talked about it yesterday as well. And I noticed in this book you say consultants are really highly paid experts who specialize in dot connecting. And, you know, I think that you've done that very well. But I also wonder, Greg and Lori Beth, about the people who have the 900 things on their plate that they have to get done in a day. Or, you know, there's 35 kids in the classroom, and, you know, the pastor has the hospital visit and the evangelism and the board and the choir director and, you know, all these things. How does an Omega leader balance to see the patterns and connect the dots?
You going to take a minute?
Five minutes.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Sorry, 4 minutes. Go ahead, Greg.
You know, what you said, Shelley, just brings to mind something that I heard John Maxwell say one time, that he said that executives are looking for ways to escape the pull of the demands of the electronic era so that they can take more time to think and plan. And I think the Omega leader understands the balance between what needs to be done and what is the tyranny of what I would call the tyranny of the urgent. You know, what doesn't need to be done, but what is constantly just dogging at you. And I think that an Omega leader is one who sets aside things that aren't absolutely essential at times and takes time to think, takes time to plan, takes time to organize their thoughts. And I think that that's probably what's lacking in a lot of aspects of life today, is that we are so bombarded by so many different aspects, so many different challenges, so many different things. And our response to wind down is maybe turn TV on or do something else that occupies our mind, when in reality, maybe the smartest thing for us to do is to sit down in a quiet place and just think, process, let things unfold. You know, even Jesus took time to get away from the crowds and to recharge and regroup and to, I'm sure, to process certain things. We're let in Scripture, a little bit in Scripture, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's processing the fact that he's about ready to die for humanity. And we get a chance to kind of see inside his heart a little bit there, that, you know, he decompresses and struggles with certain things and then yields to the process because he had a chance to walk it through, to process it. And I think that that's one of the things that Omega leaders understand, is they need to take the time to process, to think things through and to plan.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I'm reminded of a group that I met with, the Emerging Leaders Program with Tyson Foods, and we asked the emerging leaders what did they most want for their CEO. And I was surprised that what they said is they wanted him to have time to think. And that was a wise group of young leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I think, too, that knowing your mission is so key to cutting away the tyranny of the urgent, and at the end of the day, gets you to what you came here to do. For myself, with my mission being to recognize, promote, and inspire divine connection, did I do that today? Maybe I didn't do it all day, but I'm doing it right now with the show. I did it on a 2 o'clock call. I did it in a morning meeting at 9 a.m. So at least at three touch points during the day, I inspired divine connection. And so I have to feel good about that. And but it's not always doing. And I think that when fires, we have to watch ourselves, you know, moving into that doing mode. Because as you said, sometimes thinking is just being and reflecting. Shall I?
Wow. Very deep thoughts. Good thoughts this evening, Greg. Thank you for coming and stirring the waters, and we've kind of reformatted the show starting this year. We've got some great thought leaders planned for the next few weeks, and we'll be hearing more from Greg. I'm sure he'll take another spin at this, but thank you so much, Greg, for stepping into the space, bringing your leadership skills. Thank you, Lori Beth, for your time this evening. Any last thoughts, Lori, as we kind of sum up here? I want to read through the list real quick. Success is where you finish, not where you start. Practical ways to create open education and coaching. Knowing which dots to connect creates the masterpiece. Omega leaders see pattern recognition. Executives are looking for time to escape the technology, to take time to think, plan, and reflect. And knowing your mission is critical in learning to cut away and harness your goals. So those are our takeaways this evening from the Omega Leadership Series show. Lori Beth, if you'll sign us off, we'll be back next week to share again.
Shelley, I'm just amazed that you took those notes, and we're actually turning this into a curriculum, I believe, for the next generation and for people who couldn't be listening tonight. Both of you have blessed me so much, Greg. I'm going to go to sleep tonight thinking about how did David raise those mighty men of valor, and certainly with our PATH community and our PATH leads, we have an opportunity to impact the broken, the troubled, and who was the other group? The afraid, the aging, the lost, the listening. go on and on. But Greg, thank you so much. If you just have one last word to share, you might have got, you have 10 seconds to close this out.
I just going to say it's just an honor and a privilege, and I just want to encourage everybody to just pursue the dream and finish the course strong.
Even if you have to walk on your hands to do so.
That's it.
Amen. Thank you so much, Greg and Shelley, and to our listeners. Connect the dots and create an opening. Become an Omega Leader. Amen.
Thank you. Good night.